Hallelujah. You know what? Just greet your neighbor right by you. Don't get out of your seat or it'll get too late. But say, I trust the Lord. Yeah.
I trust him.
Okay, you know, today is Palm Sunday, and Sarah, Sarah, raise your hand so they know who Sarah is. Sarah, she always brings palms at every, I was almost said Psalm. Did I say Psalms? Today is a Psalm Sunday. No, Palm Sunday. No. But she always brings them, and every family can have one. Bless you for doing that. And that's when they, you know, Jesus was riding on a donkey that had never been ridden on before. And they went through the street and you know, they strew him on the street and, you know, waved him in the air to worship him.
Amen.
And that's very significant, too. There's a lot that's significant. And, but I'm not going to get into that now. I will on Easter, but I've told you a little bit about what he suffered. I mean, it is hardly nothing compared to, I've even got documents from doctors who say what had really happened to him. It actually, in the Garden of Gethsemane also, I heard someone say once that he actually became suicide went across. He took everything that we encounter.
Amen.
Suicidal. That's right. When he said, "My God, my God." No, he didn't say that, but he said, "Let this cup pass from me." And that's when he sweat. Now, his blood pressure went up so high that it came through his pores. They don't know of anybody that's ever happened to, but that was why. But see, he was so pure and perfect from sin that it was hard to kill him.
Yeah.
That's why is it Isaiah 50, 52, at the end of the chapter, it says that what it meant was he didn't even look like a human being when they were finished with him. Compared to most people that they crucified. And that was one of the most cruel ways of torturing somebody. The Romans were good at torture. I could give you another one that I just thought of. Sometimes I want to be led by the Lord, and sometimes stuff pops in me, and so sometimes I think I'm supposed to say it. When we don't forgive someone, we literally are chained to him.
Yes.
And in the spirit realm, you're chained to him. But the Roman form of punishment for someone who murdered someone was to take the dead body and chain it to that person face up like this. And that body is rotting. And I know this is gross. But it would rot. The punishment for that was that body, that was a slow death to the person who had murdered him, because that body had to rot, and it would rot inside of them. And nobody could help him. Can you imagine that? But see, that's... You know, I'm not mentioning the thing with suicide too, but his blood pressure went up so high because he knew what he was facing before he went.
Yeah.
And he bled through his pores. So there was nowhere else it could go. They were bursting. So, some of these things, he didn't want to face that. He had to face it all. But you knew we would. He did it. He did it for you. Oh, yeah, but he's got to punish you because he took all that so you would. Oh.
Amen.
I just cannot believe. Read the Bible. Amen. So, hallelujah. But you know what God wants me to talk about today is the spirit of fear yet again. Okay, 2 Timothy 1:7 says, God did not give you, he did not give it to you, a spirit of fear, but of power. His power. He gave you a spirit of love and a sound mind. You know, a spirit of fear, when you get fearful of something or you get all upset, you can't think straight. You start losing stuff. Stuff goes, you're all over the place. What did I do with that? I've got my mind on this. I don't have my mind on that. And I want some peace. And, you know, that's when you start drinking, doing drugs, something so you can have peace. But see, the peace is here. But see, God did not give you a spirit of fear. Now, fear is definitely a spirit because he said he did not give you a spirit of fear. That isn't the way it says it of other things. So that is a demon spirit. And it's huge. Huge in how it affects you in so many areas of your life. You can't even imagine. But see, you have authority over things. Like, that's another thing. God turned around. Okay, the Great Commission. It even says some of his disciples doubted right before that. And okay, so they're watching him ascend up there, and he says, behold, he says, this is what he said. I'm trying to start out with, first of all, I want you to go into the earth and cast out demons. Speak with new tongues. If you take up serpents, in other words, devils, if you drink any deadly poison, it will not harm you. You could use that at a restaurant. Lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Look it up. It's Mark 16. I'm quoting the Bible. And see, he said, lo, I will always lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. And lo, I will always be with you. And he will help us to do those things. God, okay. So, and when he said, now he said, you go, before he said all that, he says, you go and preach the gospel. I give you authority. I turn my authority over to you. I'm going to go up there and I'm going to sit at the Father's right hand. And he, you know why things don't happen in the earth? Because he told you to do that, but people don't know that. He told you to go. Preach the gospel. You lay hands on the sick. We got something to do. Jesus did it all on the cross, and the other half is up to us to believe it and to go out there and do it. And you know what? That doesn't mean everybody's got to be a preacher. God needs everybody. He needs people. And I was going to say Hormel's, it's not here anymore, whatever it's called. Whatever all those Costco. Chicken factory. He needs people all over the place. He needs doctors, nurses, lawyers. He needs, but see, as you're at those places, no matter, carpenters, all kinds of things, you have a job inside of you is the Lord, and you can witness or you can just show that you have integrity. You know, all you have to do is show you're honest, you got integrity, you don't cheat people, you don't take shortcuts on your carpentry or something like that when you're building a house for somebody. You don't do that. Why is that? Well, you know why it is? Because you represent Jesus. And people will begin to know that. That's how you can witness. You can witness by being kind. You can witness by being forgiving. These are all kinds of witness. You don't have to preach all the time. Just loving somebody. All those things. Caring about people.
Wanting to help them. Praise God.
Yeah. Okay, this is really going different this morning, but it's always good when it's the Holy Ghost, because it's always better, I can tell you that. So anyway, God didn't give you a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. And okay, in Romans 8:15, it says, "For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby you can cry, Abba, Father." You know what that means? Daddy God. In other words, you know God. But you haven't received that spirit of bondage to fear. Okay, folks, I know. I've felt the fear too. Now, fear is but even when you feel it, the fear is not in your spirit where God lives. You can fear, okay. Fear is kind of a essential thing too, because you're shaking, you're scared, you're trembling, your words get mixed up, whatever. But if you carry on and let that spirit of fear lead your life, you're always afraid of something.
Yeah, true. That's true.
It's going to take hold of you and ruin your life, whether you're a Christian or not. See, we don't have that bondage of fear. Just even the song we sang, some preacher that has two churches, one in Florida, Branson, Missouri, Keith Moore, and both of them are, 10,000 people? He's a Rhema grad. I've talked to him. He was from the bayous. He said we lived in a used trailer that should have been burned up when they first got married. Had holes in the carpet and the bathroom didn't work. And yep. But see, you can pull yourself up when you get born again. But he makes up songs like that. And when you sing that gets in you. I trust in you. I trust you. I trust you. When I bought this church, I kept saying, "I trust in the Lord with all my heart." You don't know. I said it hundreds of times. Hundreds, and by this time, thousands, I still say it. All the time when something happens, I trusted you, God, with all my heart. I don't lean to my own understanding. In all my ways, I acknowledge you, and you will direct my path. I'm asking you, Lord, direct my path if you have to take me and shove me in the right way. Do it. I want to be directed. Because you do the right thing. Okay, so let's get back to fear. Okay. However, Luke 10:19, put it up there. See, sometimes you got to stir up your faith over the spirit of fear.
Yes, you do.
When we were first Christians, I'm going to tell this. I told it on Wednesday night, but I'm going to tell it again. On Wednesday night, I was saying, and we were baby, baby, baby Christians. And I said, if Ken comes home tonight from Hormel's, and he says, "We got to leave and go to a church that believes in being born again," Lord, then I'll do it. And lo and behold, he comes home through that garage that's attached to the house, and he came through that. I was way on the other end of the house in the bedroom, and he says, "Jockey, what's..." And I went, "Oh my gosh." Woo! It was shot. I went in the bathroom first. I went, "Oh, I can't believe it. I can't believe it." Well, then there was another time too, though. You know, sometimes when you're a young Christian, or you just flop open the Bible, and this flopped open to Galatians 1:10. I'll never forget it. It was way back. That was even 1979. Galatians. It says, I know it by heart, but I'll just read it to you. So you know I'm reading it out of here. "For do I now persuade men or God? Do I seek to please men? For if I yet pleased men, I would not be the servant of God. I went, ugh. The Amplified says, do I try to win the favor of men or God? You know, like, maybe I better laugh at that dirty joke that that person told me, because all the guys will reject me or all the girls will reject me. You know what I mean?
Yep.
At work?
Most of them are dead.
Said, now I'm trying to win the favor of men or God. Do I seek to please men? If I were still seeking popularity with men, I would not be a servant of Christ Jesus. And, you know, that makes, in other words, sometimes we don't do things because we seek to please men instead of God. Boy, that did it with me. I was like, oh, my gosh. Okay, what is fear, though? It's being timid, cringing, cowardly when we don't face some things, and fear will stop our giftings. Fear will stop our anointings. So, okay. So it is actually a spirit over which we have total dominion and authority.
Yep. Oh,
Luke 10:19.
Yep.
Yeah. If I don't give it, it's just because I'm explaining things. You can keep it up. Okay, behold, I have given you authority and power to trample on serpents and scorpions and physical and mental strength and ability over all the ability or the power that the enemy possesses. And nothing shall in any way harm you. See, it says, I have given you authority and power to trample on demonic spirits. You say, you like, you spirit of fear, you feel that fear. You spirit of fear, get out of here right now in the name of Jesus. Out. Get out. Okay. So then here's another thing, though. 1 John 4:18 says, perfect love casts out all fear. And you know, why is that? Because when you got perfect love for God, I don't know if I'm there. I don't know if hardly anybody's quite there to have perfect love for God. But you know what? Okay. Okay, when you keep saying things, though, I forget what I was going to say next. In 1 John 4:18, though, perfect love casts out fear. It's because the love for God makes you trust His word. It makes you trust, because our insurance agent asked me once, and I went, oh my gosh, God help me. I don't know the answer. Wait, and you know, just like that, I heard, come up from here. And it said, because when you love me that much, you trust someone. And you trust God.
Amen.
Okay, so see, fear comes to destroy your faith. And your love walk. And it take you from walking in the spirit and start walking in the flesh. And when you fear rears its ugly head, you have to recognize it and refuse it, right? And cast it out. And say something right away.
Yeah.
Cast out on the other night. I threw something. I said, "You, it is propelling." You cast out right there means a propelling. And so I could take this and do it. No. Let's see. I think I lost some. If I throw this though, I might get. Okay. You want me to throw that? Okay. Oh, okay. See, it's a propeller. Oh, my, it's going to fly all over.
We got that one.
Kenny. I'll throw it at Joey. Maybe I'll throw it down there. But it says, you cast it out. Something happened to me once that was very, ooh. And I went, you spirit of fear, get out of here in the name of Jesus. And I mean, it's like a propelling thing. You go like this and go, phew. Whoa! The angels made sure nobody was sitting there. It's hers. Okay. I'm just trying to wake you up. Okay. Let's see. I'm going to skip some of this. Okay. So... See, what would you do if someone came into your house and they start insulting your wife? I mean, you're a man. You know, and they started insulting your wife and your kids and even your dog. See, if you had courage, you'd throw them out, right? We need to do that with fear. We need to fling it out immediately. See, don't use it to even express yourself. I was afraid. I was scared. You know why? Because it is a real thing, and it hears you. Oh, they're scared. Let's scare them a little bit more. Let's really taunt them. See, death and life are in the power of your tongue. And that's one of the more you say stuff. And let me tell you, I need to be corrected a lot, as long as I've been in this. But, you know, you form habits when you're at the beginning of your life, and those are the worst ones to get rid of. See, watching fear movies and stuff like that, I'm going to say this again, you know, that, I'll tell you what, monsters, the occult, Dracula, all that stuff, it gets inside of you. That's why you start to dream about it. It isn't funny to go sit around the campfire and scare people, even scaring little babies. And all that stuff, it causes fear. It's not a normal thing. So see, watch your speech, because death and life are in the power of your tongue. And absolutely refuse to act on it or to react to it. Stand against it with the word of God. But do you know any word of God by heart so that you can act just like that? See, God never deals with his people on the basis of fear. Never. He does not correct you with fear. And don't even go there in your thought life. Because fear is your enemy. And sometimes you've lived with fear so long you don't even realize how many fears you have. I mean, there are certain things. Ask God to show you. Fear of people. Fear of all kinds of things. See? Sometimes our decisions and our actions and our the things that we decide are based on fear rather than faith. Now, I want to tell you this. Proverbs 29:25, you don't have to put it up there. The fear of men brings a snare to you. The fear of man. Oh boy, I've been in that situation. Now, this is what happens, though. These are all forms of fear. And listen to what I'm saying. Pride is a form of fear. Spiritual pride is a form of fear. Because you act like you know all this stuff about, you know, just be normal. Competition. Extreme competition. Form of fear. Unforgiveness is a form of fear. Jealousy and envy are a form of fear. Anger is a form of fear. Wrath. Fakeness. Insecurity is a form of fear. Greed is even a form of fear. Selfishness. Worry. Depression, they're all based and rooted in fear. And now I'm not telling you some of these things that I just said, I've got a lot of them yet. But it's just the point, recognize it and fight it and face it. Now I'm gonna use something this morning to show you, we're going to face it. That's right. Okay, so. Now, the opposite of faith, it actually says, of faith is fear. Just the opposite. And it says, once you're born again and you're called the just, you know what? God looks at you just as if you had never sinned. Can you believe that? You're looking at me like I never sinned. Okay, so your spirit is the real you, where the Godhead lives. This whole thing is fake. No. I'm just saying. But anyway, kind of fake. Gosh, I put on makeup. No. No. But your spirit is the real you where the Godhead lives. That's the part that's going to go to heaven or hell. Okay. So the body and the mind may feel the test. See, your body feels the test of fear and your mind feels it. But your spirit is the real you. And in your spirit is faith if you're born again. And when you release your faith by speaking words of faith, you put the devil on the run. Okay, now Mark 7, 24.
Hallelujah.
You'll recognize it right away. Some of you will. Wait a minute. Do I have the right? Matthew 7, I meant. I thought it was Matthew. I thought, is that Mark? You know, when you put abbreviations, I put MT, and sometimes you... Yeah, Matthew 7. In fact, the beginning of Matthew 7 is really good, too. It says, judge not, lest you be judged. Matthew 7, 24. All right. So, let's put up the Amplified. You did it. Good. So, it says, so everyone who hears, Jesus was saying these words, everyone that hears these words of mine and acts upon them, obeying them, will be like a sensible, prudent. Prudence means wisdom. Practical, wise man who built his house on a rock. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat against that house, yet it did not fall, because it had been founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them, whoa, listen to this, will be like a stupid, foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell, and great and complete was the fall of it. Okay, so the house represents your life. Your life is built on a rock. When it is built on a rock, is like the one who is a doer of the word. And he acts on the word of God. But you know, when you build your life on the sand, it's like a man who hears or heard the word. He failed to do it. He failed to act on it. See, that's what I said. If you don't read this, you don't know what's in it. And you don't know what God wants. And you automatically open the door to the Bible because he can't change his word. You see, both encountered the same storm. Now, this was like a hurricane. First, the rains come down. That's how hurricanes act. You know, and then it really rains a lot in those places. And the floods come. Then the wind starts to go like way over 100 miles an hour. Okay, so the rain came down, the floods came, the wind blew and beat on both. And both of this, the one that was built on the rock and the one that was built on the sand, felt the storm. But one house stood and one house went down. And that's exactly what happens to us. You know, now, okay, now just because you continue what these storms are, the things that happen to us in life. I'll tell you what, I have two pieces of bad news, and I could be that way right now. I had to pull myself out of it this morning. And just because you feel the storm.
Yep.
Sometimes, and it can, you continue to feel it because you went to God and you go, no, wait a minute. It doesn't mean that you're doing something wrong.
Amen.
You might be doing something right, and the devil is trying to attack you and stop you. You think you're failing the test, or that your faith isn't working because you started to stand in faith. And you may actually get to a point, and I almost was to that point, of feeling beat up. When stuff starts to happen to you in life, you know, your wife wants to divorce you, your husband wants to, all of a sudden he's got a girlfriend or a boyfriend, you're, you know what I mean? That's, what? I didn't know anything about it, you know, and, or stuff, you know, all of a sudden all your money's gone, or you didn't know that that was happening. Right. All kinds of, you've been diagnosed with fourth stage cancer, whatever. See, and then not only that, you hear some bad news way over here about your kids, or about maybe if you have young kids, well, you wouldn't hear that, but somebody else, your parents, your relatives, your, you know, some area about your job. And you think, it's coming from here, it's coming from there, it's coming from there, it's coming from there, it's coming from here, it's coming from there, it's coming from here. And you start, have you ever been that? You haven't really been doing anything that should make you feel exhausted, and you're exhausted. You ever feel that way? You feel beat up. And you think, well, I wouldn't be feeling and hearing all that I am feeling and hearing. This test wouldn't be continued if my faith was really working. I'm a failure. You know what? That talk to you. Who do you think you are? You thought you were someplace. You're not getting anywhere. You know, you're nothing but a failure. The devil loves to do that to you. That is never God. Now, I know I'm talking about devil a lot. I don't, you know, I love God. I've God's first place. But if you don't know about this stuff, see, yeah, some people go to the point of suicide. No, you're not a failure. What determines whether or not the house passed the test? What determined there which house passed the test? How come? How do you know it was still standing? And I'll tell you what. And I've seen that in myself. I've seen it in other people. I don't care what's happening. It gets worse and worse and worse and worse to the point where you think you can't do this anymore. And but you keep going to God. You keep speaking scriptures, and I'm thinking, oh, I really am standing. So see, you're standing, okay, that determines if you're still standing. And see, you were the one who built the house on the rock. You got into the Word. Now see, that's why I'm emphasizing. Get in there. There's some good scriptures. There's certain ones that by this time I know, you know, they're just come out of, they just fly out. And like right there when I first started, I wasn't even planning on none of that what I said. But that is that point. The point is that's hidden in your spirit. And God is directing you to take it because He loves you. He loves you, and He wants you to know He's good. He's a good God. See, so if you're still believing, you're still speaking the Word, you're still standing, and God is still with you. And even your faith wasn't failing just because you felt the storm or just because it lasted a long time. See, as long as you're still standing on the Word, at the end of the storm, you pass the test. See, being in faith, well, what is faith? Is absolutely believing you're healed. Like of cancer, even though they said it's there.
Yeah.
Whose report do you believe?
That's right.
The reports and all the tests? Or do you believe the Word of God?
That's right.
Yep.
Amen.
And see, if you're still standing, see, your faith wasn't failing because you felt that storm. I'm going to say it again. Or just because it lasted a long time. And as long as you're still standing in the Word at the end of the storm, you passed the test. Being in faith doesn't mean you won't feel the storm or that it won't continue. Being in faith means you refuse to change what you believe, though what you're seeing, what you're hearing, what you're feeling, your five senses, what you're seeing, hearing, feeling stinks. See, regardless of how long that test lasts, if you keep standing in faith, you just keep standing on the Word, you're going to win. Now, a test has four stages. First, the rain came down. See, the house felt the storm. I'm sure the church felt the rain today. But then it rained so much, the floods started coming. And so those flood waters arose, and it made it, the situation appeared like it was getting worse, right? And I tell you, anything in a flood not tied down will float away. The winds blew. And you know you can feel and you can hear winds. And beat on that house. Blow after blow after blow after blow. You know, just like Jesus. And it feels like you're coming apart. And you know, pretty soon you need to go to a, you say, well, I think I need to go to a psychiatrist or whatever. But this is the best psychological book in the world. See, the enemy wants you to quit. And I mean, if you've known me for, I don't know if I said it at school a bunch, but quitters never win. And winners never quit. Now, anxiety and panic, even some panic can come with the spirit of fear, right? You don't have to yield to it. You don't have to yield to anxiety. If you recognize, now, I mean, I've been there. You can't, I've been there. And you know what? I refuse. I mean, you still feel it. You're kind of sick to your stomach. You know, kind of like butterflies in your stomach. Sick to your stomach. You even get an upset stomach. But you know what? You just keep moving on and you keep going on. You don't quit. It's going to leave. Panic attacks are a spirit of fear that has taken you over. And no amount of medicine is going to ever cure it. It'll help you. At first, I mean, it'll help you, but you got to get rid of that. It is a spirit, and it wants to ruin your life. So see, if you don't even yield to that anxiety. Now, there's times you have to fight things off. See, that's right. But see, when the rubber meets the road, you know, I can tell you all this, but you got to think. Do you think of times when that happened? I'm sure you felt anxiety when you called me, Sarah, and you said, Bill just died. Yeah, well, I can remember my first husband. He was 30 years old, and he was a doctor, and came on vacation, was going to come. My parents were there. Now, my father was dead, but my mother and brother-in-law and sister and all that. I was in Portland, Oregon, and my husband went to take, because he had been on duty all weekend long. And he came home Monday, and he went to take a bath. And I thought, pretty soon, all I could hear was, I heard some gurgling in there. And I went, what's going on? didn't respond. He died. He had died. Went underwater even. Made it worse. Don't you think that, I mean, that I wasn't even really a Christian, but I had a lot of love for God. I always have.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, actually when I was a little girl, I used to ask Jesus to come to my heart all the time. Because the school I went to, a teacher told me. And then I would watch Billy Graham, too, all the time. Even when I was first married, because, you know, I had two little girls, and I would think, well, I'm going to watch Billy Graham. I thought, but don't tell my parents, my relatives. And I would say the prayer. So I probably was. You know, I had a certain source of power there, I'm sure, but didn't know a hill of beans about the word. Nothing. Nothing. But see, that anxiety, and you have to fight that. Okay, so I have two little girls, and I've got to fight that. Okay, we're going to make it.
Right.
You know what?
Right.
We're going to make it.
Come on, make it.
And he was like, okay, in a residency, which is you graduate from medical school, then you go to a specialty.
Right. Yeah.
And that his residency was pediatrics. And so you don't get any money, is what I'm telling
right.
you. Oh, you must have been really rich. No, 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 not very rich at all. No, nobody, maybe piddly, little bit a month. But see, you say you're that anxiety, that panic will come into you. You know, our son Mark, this is just a few months ago, you know, going up to the cancer center and just, what? He just went in here a few weeks ago. What? And he's going to die? And I knew because I'd been a nurse. And I knew they don't do that stuff unless you're, what? He's getting bed sores in 2 weeks? What? Yeah. Anyway, see, it feels like you're coming apart. And the enemy wants you to quit. Remember I said that? But don't quit. See, tell that spirit of fear to leave in Jesus' name and we'll obey.
Yes, right.
And maybe you feel fear. You're trying to grip your mind and your body, but that's just flesh.
That's
sensing the presence of the spirit of fear. And that doesn't mean fear is in your spirit or in your heart.
Amen.
It's out here. Yep, it tries to be in the mind too. See, remember, your spirit man that has Jesus living in it is the real you. And it says that in 2 Peter. It actually says the real you is the hidden man in the heart where Jesus lives. See, the real you isn't afraid. It doesn't matter that your flesh senses it, but take authority. Put Isaiah 41:10. Give you some scriptures there. One scripture to say, to memorize, 2 Timothy 1:7. God did not give me a spirit of fear. You get out of here, but a power. I got God's power, love, and a sound mind. Okay, Isaiah 41:10. Ah, look at that. Fear not. There is nothing to fear, for I am with you, says the Lord. Do not look around you in terror and be dismayed, for I am your God. If I were you, I would put this down on a piece of paper and say, 2 Timothy 1:7, Isaiah 41:10 is one of them. I will strengthen and even harden you to difficulties. I will help you. Yes, I will hold you up, and I'll retain you with my victorious right hand of rightness and justice. Okay, go to Joshua 1. Okay, the next verse. Let's see. I don't know what verse is that. Keep going. Probably 3. Okay. Now, I have learned that there's some things in Joshua 1. And it says, you know, we used to go out and witness. And before we did, we go, every place on which my foot has tread has been given unto me, has been given unto me. No man shall be. The next verse. Go ahead. Next verse. No man shall be able to stand before you. I will be with you. I will be with you. Okay, then that comes it later. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, Jackie Hartman, I will be with you. I will not fail you or forsake you. But I like that song, man. We used to sing it way when we were first baby Christians. Keep going. Be strong. Again, it's telling you, confident and of good courage, for you will, okay, well, yeah, you will cause this people to inherit. You'll inherit what you want and not be of crazy fool full of anxiety. Keep going. Only you be strong and very courageous, that you do according to all the word of God, which my servant commanded you. Turn not from that word, from the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. And then Joshua went at this book of the law. Now, see, he was talking because they were still in the law. But this book of the Bible shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, that you may, why? So you can observe and do according to all that's written in it. So when anxiety comes, when fear comes, you can do something about it. For then you shall make your way prosperous. Then you shall deal wisely, and you will have good success. You'll even, have not I commanded you? Here it is again. Be strong, be vigorous, be very courageous. Be not afraid, neither be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Where were the... But I had one more scripture.
Hebrews
13:5. Yeah, you know what? Hebrews 13:5 in the Amplified. Mm-hmm. Satan has no authority over you. So fear has no authority over you. And don't be a victim to it. Be strong people and not babies. And always a fan of, oh man, I just got, oh, I got this little thing. You know what? Toughen yourself up to it. It's better. To poor, poor me. I'm sorry. Okay, so and this talks about money, blah, 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 blah. Do you see right in the middle there? For God, it's right at the end. It's 1, 2, 3, fourth line down, way at the end of the line. It says, for he, God himself, has said, I will not in any way fail you nor give you up, but I'm going to punish you. No. Nor leave you without support. I will not, I will not, I will not in any degree leave you helpless, nor forsake you, nor let you down, nor relax my hold on you. Assuredly not. See, don't say, but to benefit from your God-given authority, you got to exercise that authority. And even if someone else prays to maintain your victory, you do something. Learn your authority yourself, because someone isn't always going to be there. Someone isn't always going to answer the phone. See, the enemy will try again. But you got to learn to hold fast to your victory. You got to learn stand your ground. Fight. Refuse that spirit of fear. Don't be moved by what you see. Hear, feel, touch, or no, wait, taste, smell. By your five senses. We live in a world of five senses. But when you become a Christian, this is going to last. So you got to get some of that inside of here. Just key things like this. You got that stuff inside of you. You could be like a no, I was thinking about Leah.
Yeah, Leah
back there. She was in a Okay, somebody in Omaha was going over 100 miles an hour. He had stolen something, or he was a criminal, and he was going, and this was in the streets of Omaha. Yeah, you were coming home from work or going to work? Coming home from work. She works the post office in Omaha. And he hit her, and she flipped over. I've got a picture of the car on my camera. It's upside down. It's like, it's totally destroyed. She crawled out the window. The door, you actually got that one door that was, it was tilted, wasn't it? Which, that door? And climbed out. But there was also, what do you call them now? Used to be called taxi cabs. Uber. An Uber that was right there. And the Uber got hit too, and it did nothing. It wasn't that bad. And all those people were injured in some way, weren't they? She was not injured. At all. Unless it was your neck or so, I don't. Yeah, that's right. But you know what? It looked like you should have been killed.
Yeah, it's true.
If I showed you that picture,
true.
See, God was with her. It pays to serve God. He even takes care of your finances. But see, these are things that. You have to know who you are in Christ, what he's done for you, on what we're celebrating. And really, we need to celebrate the whole year long. That's why I don't make it as big a deal of it, but it's because you celebrate it the whole year long. And I do. That's why I want to teach that the whole year long. And know who you are in Christ. Know you're redeemed. Redeemed means he rescued me. He ransomed me. I'll put it this way. You say this is an auction block, and you're a slave, and you're in chains, and you're all standing there, and some masters are going to buy you. Well, you know what? Jesus bought you with the price of the blood, and the devil's the one who had you chained. But see, we become Christians. We don't get into the Word. We don't know what our rights and privileges are, and they're huge. They're huge, what God has done for it. We need to enjoy the benefits of you know, of that position in Christ.
Amen.
Oh, boy. Anyway. Okay, so, hallelujah. Maybe let's just pray. Let's see. Thank you, Lord. What does God want? Okay. Yeah, I know now. Okay. Is there anyone in here? I know we've all had like things with anxiety or fear of different things, and maybe you didn't know this. You know, God's with you on it. The whole thing is, you guys, Jesus said to lay hands on people, even in that great commission, and that his anointing, but see, you're a vessel. I'm not doing it. He's the one who wants to bless you and empower you. Kenny, over here, I mean, you were talking to me the other day, and you said that he had encountered two divorces, and, you know, it hurt. Because, you know, there were kids, and he had to take the kids, and he was mad at God, because he doesn't cause anything bad, so, but people didn't know that. And, where was I going with that? Now you said that. Yeah, I know. Yeah, the anxiety and depression. Thank you. And then he even came over to our house one night. But he worked at Hormel's, and that's how they got to know each other. And, you know, we prayed for you one night, I remember. And you start coming to church with us in Omaha even. And little Erica was born. And I can remember he brought her up for, and, you know, in those kind of churches, you dedicate the baby. You don't baptize them right away in a, you know, born-again church. But, and he he asked us if we would be her godparents in the dedication. Isn't that so? Then we didn't see each other for a long time, and here we are. Interesting. But he said that when we started the church, it was 1993, yeah, and down there by the airport, that little place, and Kenny would come up, and even when we got this church, he would come up every opportunity he got to have hands laid on him, because he said it empowered him to keep going on. And I mean, no, you know, and he said there was something about it that it gave him strength. And to see, it's the anointing means the burden removing, yoke destroying, devil crushing, mountain moving power of God goes into you, not by me. The Lord uses, and it says it right in the Bible to do that. Not everybody does that. Or praise. And sometimes people have even fallen over and it's, I'm not pushing them. Not. I mean, sometimes you're not even touching them. It's God, because he loves him. I tell you what, I have several places where I can prove that happened with Jesus too. Jesus, and one of them was when the soldiers in the Garden of Gethsemane, and he said to one of the disciples, he says, where is he? And Jesus said, I am he. And I think he just said, I am. I am, the great I am means everything that God is. And you know what happened? 400 soldiers fell over. And he could have escaped right then. It's true. See, there's details you are not getting. You got to go back into the history of all that. And it's very interesting. Very interesting. They all fell. They could have easily. But that was one time. It's the anointing from God. It's from him. Amen. Okay, so, but anyway, if that's an area of your life, or if you need healing in your body, or you even maybe want to rededicate your life to God at this time of Easter, you know, I'm just going to ask to come up and we'll lay hands on you, and you'll be dismissed.